Yeah, so what I wanted to do, I wanted to record what we did on Shabbos on the Rama, on the Yisur of Lo Sachmor. So the Rambam is in the end of Perek Aleph of Gzeilah V'Aveda. So the Rambam starts off in Halacha Tes. Okay. Kol Achomed Avdo O Amaso O Beso. Can somebody read?
Yeah. Kol Achomed Avdo O Amaso O Beso V'Kelav Shel Chavero Ol Kodavar After Lois Sheik Nehum Imenu, the Hichber Allah Bereim, the Hifter Bo Ancha Lachom Imenu, and you, Hichber, you made it a heavy pressure, made it heavy on him with friends, and you pressured him until you took it from him. Avapisha Nasno Damim Rabim, Harize Over Below Sase, so even though you end up paying him a lot of money for it, still over on an Isser, Shnemer Lo Sachmod.
I mean, even if at the end you pay him a lot of money, like you make it very much worth his while, so that won't help you. You're still over on Lo Sachmod. Okay,
right. Good. Alav Zeb Nishim Ba'Maisa.
Okay, so that's a separate question.
Right. Are you doing Ravids or not? Just Rambams?
Just the Rambam.
Okay. Do you want to read Halacha Yud?
Veina over.
Okay. Veina over Balam Zeh, Achika Hachif et Shechamad. Kidin Shenemar, Lo Sachmar Kesef Ezav Alayim, Vlakachta Lacha, Chimud Sheesh B'Maisa.
So the Chimud demands that it has a Maisa. Okay. So the Maisa. The Maisa can be interpreted as a shear in the Chimud. That's Chimud that's expressed through a Maisa. Okay, go further.
Kormis Ava Beso Ishto Vekelov Shechavero V'chol Ki Yotze Behem Mishar Dvarim She'ef Shelo Likno Samimenu Kivan Shechvash Belibo Heich Yigne Davar Zeh the nifta liba v'davar avar v'lo sase shemar lo sisnava vein taivel b'leiv b'lfad.
Okay. So the first Rambam is a little hard to understand what's such a terrible thing. If he wound up, he gave him a lot of money and the guy is happy that he made such a profit, so why is it such an issue? And the second one, Halacha Yud, seems like almost as impossible to accomplish, because it's a natural thing that he sees something his chaver has that he likes very much, and he was chashuv b'libo heyachik nedavazah. I mean, it seems like he has to stop his machshavos, and that we know is almost an impossible thing to do. So how could it be that it's such an issur of Lo Sava? Okay, go further.
Okay, Hataiva mevil de chimud, v'achimud mevil de gezel, shim l'ratzo b'aylim limkor, afapi shehir b'lehem b'damim, v'hifter b'reim, yavo de gezel.
Yeah, so that again is hard to understand on the surface. Well, what do you mean? Who says it'll go that far? Maybe it'll stop right over here. He wouldn't do Gezel. I mean, you can't say that just because he did one thing, he's definitely going to do something else. I mean, why can a normal person can stop at a certain point? So he could stop by the chimud, by the by the Chumash, who says that he has to go ahead and he has to come to Gezel. It sounds a little bit like overdone. Okay, go further.
V'im amdu abaylim b'fanav l'chatzim amonam o'man uhu l'gzol yavu d'eshvichas damim se'ulama m'maisa achav v'navos.
Right, so there again, it sounds like a regular person would say that's carrying a little bit too far. That's going to lead, it definitely is going to lead to murder. I mean, just because he saw an object that his father has and he wants it, so that's going to lead to Ritzicha. I mean, it sounds a little far-fetched. Okay, what's the next Rambam?
Shemes Aver over Belav Echad of Losis Aver. Bakona Davar Shehis Aver Behefter Shehifter Rebailim over Bakasha Mayhem. If you actually acquire the thing that you desired through pressure, or Bibakasha Mayhem, I guess you ask for it. It's a little funny, Bakasha. Over Bishne Lavim. Lakach Nemar Losach Mavlosis Aver, two different Isurim.
You mean either he sends other people to try to put pressure on him, or else he himself puts the pressure, correct?
Bivakasha means like pressure? Like, it doesn't sound like just asking for it? Or?
Sounds like that. Yeah. I mean, how else can you interpret?
Right. Okay. V'im gazal avar b'shlosh alavim.
Right. Okay.
Further, you get more?
Yeah. Do lower you get more.
Kol ha-gozos chavei roshav ha-pruto. Ki'ilu notel nafsh nishmas ha-menu. Shnemar y'orchos kol botzei ha-batsa. Kein orchos kol botzei ha-batsa. Es nefesh b'ay lov yikach. V'yafa pigein im lo haisa gzir kayamas. V'ratza gazin lasas tshuva.
That's a shoven. That's a drabon. Okay, so we'll stop at this point. Yeah, so again over here, it seems like an exaggeration that if a guy is gozel as chavero, shova pruta, that it's like he took his life away. I mean, that sounds like it's going a little bit too far. That if you steal a penny's worth, that's considered as if he took his life. I mean, it sounds like a great exaggeration. So, when we did on Shabbos, I wanted to answer these questions. So, the answer basically was that there's a very special phenomenon here. And for instance, you're living next door with your friend, and he bought a house for $1 million, and you want your son to live there. So you go over to the guy, and I'll offer you $1.5 million. And the guy says, $1.5 million? Okay, it's worth it. I'm out. I'll sell it to you. Would you be over according to the way the Rambam formulated it, or not?
It doesn't seem so.
What?
In that specific case, it doesn't seem so. You're not pressuring him, or you know.
Correct.
Yeah.
So okay, right. That's correct. So I want to define what it means by pressuring him. But apparently, I agree with you, that if the guy says, yeah, I'll sell it to you for $1.5 million, it's worth it to me, so then you're not over. But definitively, what we wanted to say was that the Isser is a separate kind of Isser. The Isser is to make the guy a Das Machna when he isn't. In other words, to work on him, to render him a Das Machna. In other words, to get him to put it on the market. There's a state of mind where a person owns something and that thing is not on the market. So the isser of the osach mode is to get him to put the thing on the market, to have him change his will vis-a-vis being a das machna. That's what the isser is. So therefore, by hifsu bereyim, it's where he's putting pressure on him. It's not like putting pressure on him to sell that at a certain price. It means he's putting pressure on him to put it on the market. That's the love. That's a separate love. That's something that's not on the market. You have no right to pressure him to put it on the market. But if, for instance, you say, I'll offer you $1.5 million, and he says, okay, I'll take it. So what he's saying is that in my mind, for that kind of money, it was always on the market. So you are not pressuring him to put it on the market. You're not pressuring him to become a das machna. So the lav midaraisa is to pressure the guy to put the thing on the market and to be a das machna. That's why he says hiftu obereim. That hiftu obereim means that he gets people to go over to him and put pressure on him to sell, because he really doesn't have the will to sell. So that's a separate, it's a very subtle ethical position. I don't think any system in the world has such a concept. Because you're allowed to try to bargain with him. That's not an isser. The isser is only if his das is not to sell and you try to use pressure to get him to change his will. And to get him to want to be a das machna. Okay. So that basically, with that, we can answer all the questions. So the second question was, call Masada. So how is it possible that the guy should not violate the issue? He has to control his mind. The answer is, it's not speaking about where he simply wants it. Let's say, for instance, he sees his chaver has a watch, and he wants that watch, and he wants it very much, and he goes and he buys one. He's not over anything. He's only over if the guy doesn't want to sell the watch. The watch is not for sale, and he tries to pressure him into selling. That's where he's over the love. So lo sasave is where he plans, like the Rambam says, kivan shechoshev b'libo, Heyoch yikne dover zeh, the nifta libo bedover, over below sase, shenema lo sasava, the ain tai thou believe. So the halach is that believe, you're over also. So, but he's over one, he's over when, only if he makes plans on how to get the guy to be willing to sell it, because the guy's will is not, is against selling. He doesn't have a das machna at this point. Okay? So that's where the love is. Now, where he says, Taiva maybe vechimud, vechimud maybe gezo. So he means that once you're in the category of trying to change his mind to put it on the market. So then, if he doesn't do it, the next step is that you're going to try to force it, and you could try to force it through Gezel, because you don't respect his position that it's not on the market. The issue is not to respect his position that it's not on the market. Once you are on the trail of trying to change his mind to put it on the market, so then it could lead to Gezel too, because Gezel is the ultimate way to accomplish that. And then what does Ram say next? That just a second. If him umdo abaylam b'fanov lahatzu amonam amanum mi gezel yevul deishvichasbam. So that's the same thing. In other words, the person, the individual who has a right not to put something on the market. So that to him is like his life. The right of ownership and the right of not having to put something on the market is like his life. So therefore, what's going to happen is that he's going to defend himself with his life. And the other guy, who's on the route of trying to break down the guy's das not to put it on the market, will use all his power to accomplish that. Once he's in that taiva, there's no stopping him. So, therefore, it will come to Ritzicha. So the whole issue of the whole system of Lo Sachmor is a system not where you want something. You have a taiva for something that your chaver has. So that's fine. Or even if you ask him to sell and you pay him a lot of money, that's no problem. The only problem is where he does not have a das mechira, and you're trying to impose a das mechira. Then, once you're on that route, so the Torah tells you how it could even be both there at Sicha, because you're acting on that route, on that Metzius. And that Metzius is the love. Okay, any questions?
Rabbi?
Yeah.
So if the guy says he doesn't want to sell his house for $1 million, and you say $2 million, and he says, look, I'm just not selling, this is where I live, I want to live here. You say $5 million, and he says, you know what, that's just an offer I can't refuse. I don't want to sell this house, but I can't pass up that much money. So why isn't that Yisrael Lo Sachmo? Like, he doesn't have anything, the house is not on the market. And you're just offering him so much money that you're convincing him to, like, put it on the market because you're making him an offer he can't refuse. But, like, he had no das to be a mocher. Why are you pressuring him for money?
Yeah, but you're not pressuring him to sell. What you're doing is you're making an offer, and that offer, in his mind, he always would sell for that price.
I mean, the house wasn't on the market. He's happy living there. He's not looking for more money. He's relatively content. Now you're just offering him such a crazy amount of money that he has no choice but to take it.
No, he always has a choice. If he doesn't want it to be, if he doesn't want to sell, he doesn't have to sell no matter how much you offer.
Yeah, in theory, but I mean, it's just too much money for him to pass up. But now you're making him. The house wasn't on the market. He had no intent on selling it. He was happy living there.
Every man has his price.
Yeah, that's correct. In other words, when you offer him a lot of money, so, and he's willing to do it, that means that in his mind, he always would have done it for the money. But if you get Rayim to put pressure on him, that's a different thing. That's where you're trying to put pressure on his desire to sell.
But there's no qualitative thing that the house is not on the market, and now by offering him so much money, you're saying the house was always on the market at that price, just nobody knew about it? Like, he didn't know that?
What do you mean?
The house, if the definition is you're doing something to make him change from being a das where he's not selling this item to having a das that he's willing to sell it. So, I mean, he had no intent to sell the house, but by offering him so much money, you've changed him to convince him to make him want to sell the house. You think he always wanted to sell the house at that price? I mean, that's not really...
Yeah, but the Hiftsira, that's where the coercion came from. You dangle a lot of money in front of a person, you're not pressuring him.
You're convincing him to become a seller now. He wasn't interested in selling, and you're convincing him to start selling his home.
But that's what Rebbe was saying, that every person's got a number in their head that they would grab at. That's not something new. This person has 200 mana, and he wants to have 400, Chazal say.
doesn't answer the question, though.
No, in other words, by hifsibo bereim, they put pressure on him. What they're doing is they're telling him that it's not wise to not put it on the market, to not sell. So that's a different thing. That's where you're directly operating against his will not to sell. You're directly trying to influence him to sell and to give up the idea that it's not on the market. But in a case where you give him a lot of money, everybody has his price. Not always, I shouldn't say everybody, because the point is that sometimes the guy doesn't have dots to sell at all, like the case by Novos, that it was, he'll never sell out of that piece of property. I just saw that they showed a guy who had a kever, so they offered him a lot of money for it. We said, I don't care if you give me $1 million, I wouldn't sell it, because that kever is next to my wife, and it's my kever, and I wouldn't sell it for any money. So then if somebody would try to get him to sell it, say, look, what's the difference where you're buried? Or try to convince him that he shouldn't remain obstinate and not put it on the market. That would be the issue. But as long as you're not addressing that issue, as long as you're not addressing that position directly, you're not over.
What about if the guy says we can move your wife to somewhere else and you could be next to her there?
Yeah, well then, that's a good question. You mean would it be over?
Yep.
You mean by changing the metzius?
Yep, that's the question.
I think that it probably would be over because you're trying to change him into a das machna.
Yeah, but it's a different situation, no?
Yeah, but in the meantime, you're directly acting on the guy's refusal to be a das machna by changing the situation.
But what he's machna is not what it was before. It was machna owing one plot next to another. Now you're going ahead and getting both plots.
Yeah. Why can't you say it's just the equivalent of offering him like an exorbitant amount of money? Now he's like, okay, fine. Now it's okay with me.
Yeah, here he is.
Hansen, in this case, he was an Eino Das Machna because of the fact that he wants to remain buried next to his wife. So you're conforming to his requirements. So why would you say that's on the contrary, it's addressing his needs.
Yeah, it's a good question. And Aaron's question is a good question, too. If you offer him an exorbitant amount of money, why don't you say that you're trying to force his will?
Rabbi?
I don't think it's forcing his will because the guy is very happy when you offer him an exorbitant amount of money.
No, you're not really because, you see, originally he didn't want to be a machna.
Yeah, at $2 million, but at $10 million, he's running to the bank and happy.
Yeah, but the thing is, it's not that he's happy. The fact is that he went against his will not to be a das machna. That's like you're influencing him to go against his will not to be a das machna.
I understand. When he introduced the social aspect, didn't the potential buyer do so because he realized that the money alone wasn't going to work?
That's right.
So that's in other words, he's bringing in like an external force to market the typical market forces.
Well,
he realized the money wasn't going to work.
But if Sula Berea means you're trying to tell him it's foolish not to be a seller. In this case, that's his celebration. Then it says, even if you gave him a lot of money, then you're still over. So that's what the Rambam means. And once you're starting to attack his will not to sell, that's where the love comes in.
Rebbe, you introduced a different concept on Shabbos. You brought in bilus, that you're actually violating his bilus. So it doesn't matter how much money it is. If that,
well, that's true, because it's a violation of his vows. That's why it's like taking his nefesh.
That's what you said. I think the concept of bilus answers that question.
Yeah, but how do you determine if it's on the market or not? Let's say you're approaching your next door neighbor and just you're offering him. I mean, you're not allowed to offer until you know for sure it's on the market, or are you just like?
You mean if you offer him an awful lot of money, why isn't that also trying to overcome his will?
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't seem to be there's any like prerequisite to like make sure it's on the market first. You don't know what his das is, so you're just going over there and trying to.
Why can't you just ask him? Are you willing to say? Is there a price? Would you be willing to sell your house? Ask him then. He says there's no price.
Okay. Fair enough. Okay, that's true. Yeah, you could do that. That's true. Yeah, but doesn't seem like he's saying until you do that, you're over this or blah, 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 sachmod. Just to go up to somebody and offer him a price or something is automatically low sachmod unless you have to verify that it's on the market first, that you're over there, so otherwise.
In other words, it would seem that if there's resistance and you're trying to overcome the resistance, that's when you're over. You know, once there's resistance to selling, you're not allowed to engage any further.
So then you're back to Aaron's question. If he says, no, I don't want to do it, and you keep on offering more and more, you'd be over, but it doesn't seem that way from the Rambam.
Maybe you would be over.
Why does Rambam introduce Reim?
He introduced Reim because the Reim are trying to influence him to put it on the market. It means that you're trying to do something to influence him to change his mind, to put it on, to make it a saleable object. So that's why he says even if you gave a lot of money, it still wouldn't help. But if, in other words, because the giving of the large amount of money is really is a part of trying to change his will, to put it on the market. So then you'll be over. So in Echanami, maybe Aaron's right. That if, in other words, if initially, initially you're not going to offer a guy a crazy amount of money. Initially you offer him something that to see if he wants to sell. But if he doesn't, then you keep on upping the amount in order to get him to have the desire to sell, then in Echanami you'll be over.
But let's say it was only Afal Pishnas Lodom Rabbim, and you keep on upping and upping, but there was no Reim. You would or would not be over?
It would seem that you would be over.
Doesn't seem that within the Rambam.
The reason why the Rambam brings in Hiftzilah Bereim is because he's trying to change him to become a Das Machna.
So if you just have Nasan Lodom Rabbim by itself, then surely that itself would be over. Of course, if in addition to that you'd have Reim and you'd be over.
What do you mean?
Because you're telling me that Nasmul Damhari itself is going to, because you'll be over. So of course you have something in addition to that, you're going to be over. The Rambam doesn't have to say that.
No, the Rambam is just trying to, the reason why the Rambam brings in the Reim is because that's the way a person would go about trying to change the guy's mind from not being a Das Magna. That will influence us. It doesn't pay to be sentimental here. It doesn't pay not to sell.
Usually people from deals, they keep on offering more money if they really want it. And then if that's not working, they actually just had this experience myself.
The difference if it's on the market or it's not on the market. If you're trying to convince them to put it on the market, that's when you're over.
If you just come up with an opening offer, let's say a guy does that, like he just comes up with an opening offer that's exorbitant, way beyond the market value, it seems then he would not be over the Isser.
It seems so.
Okay.
But if he offers him a certain amount of money and he refuses.
Yeah, then at that point, yeah.
Because he doesn't want to sell, and then you try to offer him more money and try to influence him to not refrain from selling, then it seems you'll be over.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's the resistance that's the problem. The initial resistance, you can't go like beyond that point.
That's correct.
Yeah, that's good.
So yeah, in other words, what the Torah demands is that you respect his right not to put it on the market. And if you don't respect that right, so then it'll come to Shvichas Dam. In other words, you can't tolerate the fact that he has a right not to put it on the market. You're trying to fight that emotion or that position.
Rebbe?
Yeah.
What about in business? Like, let's say you have competition and you want to buy out the competition. And so maybe initially they don't want to, but you're negotiating with them to try to get the price. Would the same rules apply?
Is it on the market in business?
Yeah, I mean, give me the case. Always on the market again. Yeah.
In business, you're talking about where the thing is on the market.
You would say a business is always on the market?
In business, apparently, it's not a personal thing that doesn't want to sell.
I mean, like, let's say it's his business, right? You own an appliance shop, and you have a competitor down the street who also owns an appliance shop, and you want to buy him out. So originally he might have no desire to sell, but, I mean, similarly, at a certain price, he'd be willing to. Does the same rules apply?
It's not that he's not on the market. He's in this total business.
But, I mean, all the Rambam's cases were like personal items. His Caleb, his house, his wife, his Evid or Amma. Like it's always like a personal item, never just like a purely monetary asset.
It would seem so.
Right, well, why would his business be treated differently? I mean, that's to store his stuff. I mean, why would that be treated differently? Mm-hmm.
Because that business is a monetary asset. So if you can offer him $100 million in monetary asset, I mean,
but you're saying a guy who doesn't want to sell his business, like you don't respect that. I mean, you can pressure him however you want to do that. Is what you're saying? You can keep on assaulting him with as much pressure as you want.
Okay. He gives money.
No, I'm just saying. It's like I don't know. I don't see why that would be a difference.
Right.
Well, I think what Aaron is saying is that in the business, the whole essence is the value. So it's always for sale for a certain value. It's not that he doesn't want to be a das machna.
People take pride in their like a guy has like his own shop. He takes pride in it. It's his thing. He doesn't want to sell it. Well, you don't have to respect that. You just go after him.
I mean, if he'd rather sell, so then it's not a matter of personal, it's not a personal thing. It's a monetary thing. I don't think anybody has so much pride in his business. He may have pride in his business, but in his mind, it's always a vehicle of profit. Whereas a personal item is not a vehicle of profit.
I guess the trouble, Rebbe, is it seems like people could have resistance to anything. So I see Aaron's answer about, again, somebody owns an apartment building and then, somebody wants to offer him enough money. Yeah, that's the point is it's a financial asset. But something like it's his father's shop, I mean, people could have a funny resistance to anything. And so as soon as the definition is resistance, then I could see that applying in business as well. I like Aaron's distinction. Again, the example is being brought up. If he has a resistance to selling his father's shop, even though it's a bad business decision, but you pressure him over the top and force his hand.
He has his father's business and he wants to retain it like an heirloom.
It has like an heirloom value to him.
Like an heirloom, even though.
Yeah.
Like the case of Navos by his vineyard, no?
Yeah, that's right. That would be the same thing. Hey, Nachanami. There are people, sometimes people have such an emotional attachment that because it's their parents' business, even though it's losing money, they want to keep it going as a commemoration to the parent. Then ain't a chanami, then you would be over.
Okay.
Wait, Rebbe, just a quick question about Halacha Yadeis. Is he just summing up the stuff, or is he adding anything new there?
What he's showing you is that the Torah once he's on that route of trying to break down the refusal to be a das magna, so then the Torah says it'll lead to, it's on the road to Ritzicha.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but he expresses that idea outside Yud Beis. It just sounds like he's summing up the fact that you do this path, you're over three lavin, which we could have deduced on our own, unless I'm missing something.
Are you wondering what he has in Yud Beis?
Yeah, it sounds like there's nothing wrong with summing it up, but is all he doing summing it up, or is he adding anything new there?
I didn't think about it. I think what he's trying to show is that the Torah set up a separate lav if it has a maisa, even though you have a lav that in machshava alone you could be over lo sava. So ordinarily you'd say once you have lo sava, what do you need lo sachmos for? Correct, because lo sava would include lo sava, right? So he's trying to show you that the Torah's derech was to separate each one, even though one is contingent on the other, and to set it up as a separate love. It's not superfluous because it is a greater expression.
I mean, but you could have lo sisave without lo sachmot, so it's not, I mean, it's, why would you think it was superfluous?
In other words, I tell you, you might think that once you have lo sava, so why do you have to have lo sachmot for?
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Really?
And you're saying he didn't articulate that point outside of Lachiyud Beis, you're saying? You didn't really?
I don't think he did.
Okay.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know if you, is there any reason you think the Rambam left, like, out of Los Achmod, he left out Eishes Re'echa from Los Achmod?
They talk about that.
How do you
do? I don't think so.
No.
But they mentioned...
What would be the case? The case is where basically you pressure a guy to divorce his wife in order so you can marry her?
That would seem to be the case, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's considered like buying it from him? Like when would a person be over that Isser, according to the Rambam? Like when you marry the wife, when you marry her?
Correct. When there's a Maisa.
But I'm saying when you do the Maisa Kiddushin, because you're not really buying his former wife from him, you're just...
I mean, it would seem so. Well, by Lo Sisava, he has to say, you're also...
I know he does have Lo Sisava. I'm just wondering by Lo Sachmud. The Ram leaves it out, but according to the Ram's formulation, that you're only over when you... Ashike Chachifet Shechamad.
So it would seem until he marries her.
Even though he divorces her, you're not over until you marry her.
It would seem so.
Right. Okay.
Until he took the thing that he wanted.
Right. Okay.
Did you answer it? The Gazela of Shabaprutta?
Yeah, because what it's saying is that to infringe on the guy's right not to be a Das Magna is like taking his life. If you don't respect his right not to be a Das Magna, then it's like, to him, it's like you're taking his life. So that's why he will stand up to defend it, and that's why it eventuates in a clash, which is actually a clash of Ratzicha, because of the nature of a person that is right not to be a Das Magna. If you violate that right, it's like taking his life.
Mm-hmm.
Rabbi, isn't that extreme? Why that his whole life is not be a Das Magna?
You're breaking up.
That isn't that extreme. It's not his whole life isn't to not be a Das Magna. Why is it compared? And it seems like too much. No,
no, because that's the track. In other words, even though it's a penny, but it has that quality that I don't have a right not to not to sell. Well, no, I don't have a right of ownership.
You say just a quantitative distinction after that?
That's just a quantitative distinction. But even on that penny, they're going to have, you're going to have that quality.
But isn't his money or his life a different quality?
What's that?
But isn't his money versus his own life a different quality?
No,
the fact
no.
that I don't respect his Das Machna or respect his life, that right to exist.
His money or his life is, that's a different thing. Meaning what the Gemara says, that some people are Mamono, Chovolovios, Migufo, and vice versa. That's a different idea. This idea is that that intrinsic right that I have of ownership, if you violate it, it's like you're taking my life.
Right. If the other idea is true, that Mamon and life are different, then how does that?
No, that's a different thing. That both are true. That's a different question. Question of which one is more important to him. But the fact is that even both, no matter what, that quality to have unlimited absolute ownership is something which, if you take it away from a person, it's like taking his life away.
You're talking about a case where a guy already was hipster bo, and you said no, no, and the guy hocked you with friends. You said no, 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 and now the guy's coming to steal from you. You can imagine the guy's going to be personal affront, and it's like you're impinging upon his ownership rights, right? That's the case where the guy has already gone through that procedure.
Yeah, do you follow me? Is it clear?
Mendy Gazela doesn't have to go through Sachmod and Taiba.
It doesn't have to.
He says it's going to come to Sachmod. Isn't he to Gazela? Isn't he talking about the case where the guy was already over the Yisr of Chimod and all those things?
No, but then he says, Kol Agozo es Chavero and Halacha Yud Gimel. That if you, when the moment you gozo, you're infringing on that right, that absolute right of ownership. And if you don't, and that's considered, that's why it's considered as if you take his life.
You mean it's not referring back to the type of gazela that was talking about in this entire parag? I mean, just any maisa gazela?
Any maisa gazela.
Yeah, filo shava prutas.
No, I thought it meant after this kind of thing.
No, what he's saying is that if you're a gozo, so then he's going to encounter that emotion. That might, I don't have any right of ownership. So even if it's a pruta, it doesn't matter. But the fact is, it's not the quantity of loss. That's a different emotion. It's the quality that my absolute rights of ownership don't exist. And that's considered like you're taking my life.
I'm sorry if I'm asking you to repeat this, but like, in what sense is it like Hilo no tell nishmaso?
Because that's the way it is. Let me see if I can explain it. In the sense that you're violating the fact that I have an absolute right of ownership. And I don't have to sell. It's completely mine. So if you violate that, it's like violating his life. It's like the case of Einevos, where the guy said, Chalila, I will never sell my Yerusha. And what's his name again?
Achav.
And Achav insisted. Achav took away that right. That was like no tell Nishmaso. It has that quality.
You mean like a person's right to like have absolute ownership is like part of his dignity, his like sense of self. And once you take that away, you're destroying his sense of self and dignity of a person.
That's correct.
violating his will.
He's got no will. He's got no life.
So are we left with any questions?
Yeah, I just I want to clarify on Lo.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
Lo Sachmod Rebbe, if I call up, if I knock on somebody's door and I say, I'm the neighbor, and I said, I want your house for my son. He said, well, I'm not selling it. He says, well, what about the $2 million? He said, I'm not selling it. And he said, what about $5 million? He says, I'm selling it. And the whole conversation took 5 minutes. You're over Lo Sachmod?
It would seem so.
But there were really no energies that you, it was like the guy at $5 million, he's very happy, and you didn't do berate him, you weren't totally involved, you just were throwing a price at him.
Yeah, but you're trying to overcome his will not to put it on the market.
But his will not to put it on the market is only based on a price. It's a unique, it's not married to the thing, he's only married to it because of, you know, the value.
No, it's not true, because otherwise, you would sell it for a normal price.
He never thought he could get it. He doesn't want to sell it at a normal price. But he's not going to put it on the market for $5 million because he doesn't think there's a Michigan who would pay $5 million. Now he found a Michigan who would pay $5 million. So he's very happy.
No, but in other words, originally there was resistance. The moment you have resistance, it means you're trying to pay it.
Market price, that's the resistance. It's at a higher level, it's not, he'll always sell it at $5 million. Anyone comes on his door and asks him right away, $5 million, he says, deal. His friend wouldn't say $2 million right away. He comes right onto the door, he says, I know your house is worth $2 million, I'll offer you $5 million. And guy says, wonderful. So then you're not over the answer, but if he says no first, you are? I don't get it.
Why is that any different, Mandy? It's the same point. The guy doesn't want to sell. A ridiculous price is not a high price. The fact that you have to give a ridiculous price means he doesn't want to sell this. If he wanted to sell it, he'll take a good price.
That's correct.
Don't want to sell. You're trying to convince him to sell at a ridiculous price because he has no interest in selling this thing. He wants to live there.
But he doesn't. At $5 million, he's very happy to move.
Doesn't matter. What Aaron's saying is right. He doesn't want him. He wants to live there. Now you're offering him a ridiculous price to convince him to sell. So you're trying to make him into a das machna. So then you're over.
And why is the business different?
Well, business is. What do you mean? Which case?
Thing that you own for investment. The guy doesn't want to sell it either. He likes the income.
No.
And he said, I'm not selling it at $2 million. Now you offer him $5 million. Okay, I'll sell it.
But that there, in a business, it's only a value, a money value object. That's all it is. There's no resistance because the whole essence of the thing is to make a profit. But where he has his personal house, where he's living, that then he has resistance. He's not interested in moving out.
So when you're saying the Rambam says, v'hichbet olav bereim, it means even just going ahead and saying $5 million above the price. Yeah, $2 million, he wouldn't sell it. Now you say $5 million, that's the same equivalent to v'hichbet olav bereim, the hipsibo. That's considered hipster. That's a quality of hipster.
Take a look at how does he have by the case of Misava.
That's exactly what he says there. He says, Obed Bakasha Mehem.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. He goes ahead and he's trying to, he makes plans on how to do it.
Obed Bakasha.
Oh, hey, Chiyidne Dovev, Nifta Believe Dovev. It seems like there's an involvement. Not simply that he just goes over and he's a very wealthy guy, so he offers the guy $5 million. For him, $5 million is not a lot compared to his friend.
But why would a guy offer $5 million if the price of the house is only $2 million?
He's not a seller at $2 million, but he is a das machmer at $5 million.
Yeah, but how does he know that? He's not crazy, so he start off with $2 million and start working his way up.
No, but if he doesn't start with $2 million, he just starts with $5 million. I want your house, $5 million. You want to sell it to me?
That's crazy. You're talking about that's a crazy man. Why would a guy offer $5 million if that's someone first he'd offer $3 million, $2.5 million. He would offer a normal price.
I know, because he knows the guy won't sell it at a normal price.
So in other words, the guy doesn't want to sell.
At that price?
At a market price. So it's not on the market.
I guess the question is, you're saying Das Machna has nothing to do with price. That's what you're saying. And that's the problem I have a problem with. You're saying Das Machna is a variable that has nothing to do with price. And in business, and even with houses, in this community, I see Das Machna and pricing as a very related.
No, but you don't see people offering crazy prices when the guy can get it at a low price. There's a market price. If the guy doesn't want to sell at the market price, and you keep on raising the number in order to convince him to sell, then you're over.
I just think in real estate, market price is whatever the guy's going to pay. That's just the way I believe.
Yeah. I don't know what you mean.
I mean, property has different value to different people.
No, that's true, but nobody's going to go over to a guy that has a house that's worth $2 million and offer him $5 million. Or offer him first $2 million, $2.5 million. And then if the guy refuses, he doesn't want to sell, and you keep on insisting and raising the price or telling people to go and convince them to sell, then you're over. In other words, if you're trying to overcome his resistance to sell, then you're over. He wants to live here now. He wants to sell at a later date. It's not on the market now. And you're trying to overcome that resistance. That's when you're over.
This is a smoother way to learn. He'd had it on Shabbos. On Shabbos, he didn't have it this way.
Could be.
Got it?
Yeah.
So maybe it's good as the Lashon of the Rambam, where he says his idea is a hifter boad shalakho, a hichbo brain hifter boad shalakho, I mean, I know, apa pish masan la dom and rabim. So maybe he means like you could do a maisa of hifter boad, of putting pressure by his friends, or there's a by giving damim rabim, it's like an implicit hifter. Like there's no maisa of being hifter, but it's like implicit in your nasal damim rabim is a pressure. So he's saying even that type of a pressure where it's not explicit pressure, it's just implicit in the price. That's also.
That's right. Initially, the guy would start with hifter. You still try to get the guys to talk him into selling. And if that doesn't work, he'll up the money. So the rise around saying, even though he gives him an exorbitant amount of money, he still is over.
Right, but once you do that, you don't need the hip. You don't need the hip tier first. If you just do the dumb rob yourself, that's also sufficient.
That's correct.
It's implicit. There's an implicit hip tier in the dumb rob. It's just you're not correct. Explicitly.
That's why in Los Asada, Colin Asada, he doesn't have hip tier.
Rebbe?
So he says, Kivan Shechoshel Belibo, Heyach Yikne Dover Zer, the Nifta Libo Bedover, and Avogloss, I'll say. So he doesn't say with a Hifser. He means he tries to figure out ways how to get the guy to be a Das Machna. He knows there's resistance there. The guy's happy, he has a value, he's happy with living there, and now you're going to try to do something to overcome his status where he doesn't want to sell.
Rebbe?
Yeah.
If the owner of the property starts a bidding war between two buyers, the owner says, Reuven offered me $1 million. Well, Shimon offered me $1.5 million. And the buyers are bidding against each other, right?
Right.
Is that an issue?
No. Because it's on the market. He's just trying to get the better price.
So starting a bidding war would be mutter, saying.
100%, because he's putting it on the market. The only issue is to try to overcome the guy's will not to have it on the market. If that's what you're doing, then you're over.
Rebbe?
Yeah.
Can you just elaborate on the Isser of Lo Tisave? Because you raised the question how it's possible to stop one's machshavos. Could you
right.
just elaborate on what that means?
It means that if you know, for instance, that the product, that the object is not on the market, and you try to think of ways to change his mind to want to sell, then you're over. In other words, he knows, for instance, the guy has a sentimental attachment to the watch, but he wants the watch. So he's going to try to think of ways to overcome the guy's emotion of not wanting and not having it on the market.
Okay, so again, you're distinguishing between wanting the watch, which the Torah doesn't expect you to control, but starting to develop a plan to get it, to convince him to put it on the market, that's where you're over.
That's correct.
Okay.
You can want the watch as much as you want. There's no issue in that.
Is it different than the Ibn Ezra, that whole thing he has on Mos Achmos?
Could be.
Yeah, it seems like Ibn Ezra was learning. I don't know. I mean, I don't know if it seems like he was saying that you have to like this. Lo Sachmod is just being misavis something that doesn't belong to you, even without a plan. It sounds like a whole value system that you have to develop in order to be in compliance with Lo Sachmod, according to him. I don't know if I'm right or not. I just think that seems to be what he was saying.
It could be. I think you're right.
Yeah,
but that could be.
It's different. Yeah, different. Yeah.
Kevin?
Yeah.
What do you say about, let's say, a woman, she says she doesn't want to get married. She's not interested in getting married. And then you try to pressure her to get married. Would that be like, she's Muslim? Would that be low sachmot? She doesn't want to. She has no das mak. She's not really interested in getting married when you try to pressure her to get married.
No, there's no object there.
What, her?
No, that's something else. That's just, that has nothing to do with this. She's not selling herself.
But why would you say when Aishas Re'echa, he's not selling his wife? I mean.
No, you're trying to get him to garage his wife. There's an object there. But the person himself is not an object.
You don't say she's like in her own Rishus and she's being mocked
no,
herself?
You don't say she's her own object.
She's in the Baal's Rishus and she's an object to the husband.
A separate question whether she wants to get married has nothing to do with this. Nothing. Zero.
Yeah, isn't the issue Kiyashata, that's only where the woman is off limits, right?
Say it again.
The Torah talks about, I think last week's parsha, Kiyashata Ish, when a man tries to pursue, convince a woman, but it's only talking about a woman that's iser to him.
You're talking about seduction and rape?
Well, that's she's usher. He's not married to her. But he's allowed to do...
That has nothing to do with this at all. Nothing.
Right. Now I'm trying to bring a riot that being mefata, coercion in the case.
Totally different thing. Completely
right.
Different.
Are you over Lo Sachmod every time? Every time you're over Lo Sachmod, can you be over just Lo Sachmod? Is that possible?
And not Lo Sachmod?
Yeah.
No, that's not possible.
True. Every time you're over Lo Sachmod, you're over to Isurim.
That's right. Because it means that you thought about it already. You thought about how you're going to make him into a das magna. So it's a very subtle halacha. Okay. I think we'll stop here.
Rabbi, can I ask you a question about the Aseret HaDibros?
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'll ask you.
Don't make any questions for me.
I'm a Kodesh Baruch Hu, Shabbos, keep it off aim. Don't kill, don't kidnap, and don't take away a guy's bilis. Doesn't like shtim.
Say it again.
In the Aseret HaDibros, you have all these like main things that are like tremendously important, and many of them are chayav misa, and then don't take away a guy's bilis.
Okay. So according to the Rambam, it's very good because it's kiyum not less nafsho.
So it could have been anything that would lead to a guy feeling that he can kill somebody, or it's going to lead to
anything that has a quality.
That quality, but correct. Not the tailor itself.
That quality.
But I think right there on Ramban says like Lasachmod is like the root of all gazelle in terms of like societies. They have Lasachmod, that's like where all these monetary problems come from. It's like the root of all problems with bilis is Lasachmod. Which is like the Ramban, but the category for all problems of gazelle is Lasachmod. It's a serious category.
So in Yadis, it's not Yadis has a very special ethic. It's not simply that you have to respect the guy's right of ownership. You have to respect the guy's right of not willing to part with it. Not willing to put it on the marketplace.
You see how the Poe would view communism, by the way, would be pretty dead set against it. The whole notion of ownership is gone in that system.
Correct. Okay, Rabbi, we'll stop here.
There's a chazal, I think you talked about where HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives Klal Yisrael the Torah. And it says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not like Basav Adam, because when Basav Adam gives away something, he feels bad about it.
Okay.
I think that might fit in with what you're saying. But people become attached to their possessions are an extension of themselves.
That's correct, but you have a right to do that. You have a right to have something which has sentimental value to you. There's no issue in that.
No, I'm saying, but the other person has to respect that.
That's correct.
That's the Lo Sachmod.
That's the Lo Sachmod.
Okay.
He has to respect the fact that to you, it's not on the marketplace.
I gotta find that chazal. I don't remember who it was.
Thank you, Rebbe.
Thank you, Rebbe.
Okay, guys.